like microphones. The thing that struck me the most was the extreme of poverty in Haiti. The poor in our country are rich compared to Haiti. Everybody there is just trying to find some water to drink that won't kill them and some food to eat. Today, 3.5 million Haitians will not eat. It's insane. 80% unemployment. It's outrageously, to conceptualize it, to see it, was really striking to me. And over this past week, I've found that seeing that has just turned down the volume on everything in my life. Like, just, yeah, whatever. It's not so stressful. I got it good.
I don't like microphones. I wrote mine down. At the beginning, I really didn't want to go to Haiti. I had about 10 reasons why it was a bad idea. But I felt like God kept bringing it back up to me that I needed to go, that I had things to learn in Haiti. Plus, my husband Tony wanted me to go with them. I was prepared to feel terrible on the trip, thinking the health problems and chronic pain that normally plagued me would be worse than normal. But while in Haiti, an amazing thing happened. Not only did I not feel terrible, but I felt much better than I usually feel at home. My energy was high and my pain was virtually non-existent, so much so that I didn't need my normal medications. Even since being home, my health has been great. I feel like God wanted me to go to Haiti to build my faith and trust in Him. Wait, let me finish this one part. Besides this, the orphans are amazing. I would have taken any of them home, all of them. And I also just loved being a part of the team. We had a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So.
Hi there, I'm Salt. It's my wife, Marcy. And definitely this was a first for me to go to a country of this type. And I think one of the things that struck out to me perhaps more than anything was one of the pastors who is like one of the best musicians in all of Haiti, which we hope to bring to our country and to Denver, and him and some kids, and do a fundraising activity. But anyway, we visited his home, or at least what was left of what he called his home. And that's what struck me so much, is that one of the things that struck me. You know, Brandon's been up here before, and he's preached about how that white rug in his house is really not his white rug at all. And I'm like, this pastor was like, these walls in this house are really not my walls. And so they knocked all the walls down to create space for the church to meet. And his backyard is really not his backyard. That became the classrooms of a school that now meets where his backyard used to be. And the parking area is more space for the kids, and just impressed me that as he's showing us this beautiful compound home that has been his and his family's, what's left of his space is about a 15 by 15 foot room, and all the rest of it is now him being obedient to saying, God, this is yours. I'm not just giving lip service to that. So my house is really not mine. It's yours that you let me live in, and I'm happy to live in this space here. And hopefully eventually they'll build up and he'll get a little bit more space back for himself, his family. But that just impressed me so much. And not just him, but so many people who are just, their faith and they're living it out just impressed me to no end.
I'm going to share for me and Zanetta, because she's teaching in Kids Zone. But Zanetta wanted to share that she was just struck by the simplicity of life there. And the kids loved her. I mean, she just connected so well with the kids at the orphanage. But anyway, she kept saying that, you know, the thing that, you know, she kept telling the kids, this same moon that you see is the same moon I see in Denver, and the same God that you serve is the same God that I serve. And just the simplicity of life there, and just the connect that our connection is, even though our lives are so different, our connection is the Lord, and was really powerful for her. And then for me, what just being in Haiti was just amazing to me. Because you go to Haiti and you think of Haiti, when you first hear Haiti, I first think of like voodoo. You hear that that's, and we, so you think you're going to the voodoo, land of voodoo, and it's like God, you can see God's hand everywhere there. Well, not everywhere, but a lot of places. And you see it in the people. Like these, to me, I felt like the orphanage and the whole light and peace, mission is, it's like a picture of what the body of Christ really should be. It's at the orphanage. You've got these women and some men that are working there all the time. They're like always working, and their life is not like they're doing laundry for 57 children by hand and hanging, you know, in bowl, like tubs. And they're ironing with ancient irons that you have to put like burning charcoal in the bottom to heat up. And they have electricity sometimes, and sometimes they don't. And they're working constantly and selflessly, you know. And then the kids are, they're loving one another and caring for one another. The older kids are caring for the younger kids, and even the medium-sized kids are caring for them. I mean, it's just really beautiful to see the selflessness and like the real true picture of what the body of Christ should be like. So it was really impacting for me.
So I've gone several times, but every time I go, God gives me a new gift. And this time, it's dark because there's no electricity, and so we're sitting on the porch at the orphanage, and there's a little teeny ledge, and you can, if you sit there long enough, somebody, one child will come to you. So there's this little teeny girl. She's old. She's about 10 or 11 now, and I've known her since she was 4, and she's so small. Her brother, her mother and father died, and her brother, who was 4 years older than her, so he was 8 at the time, brought her out of the mountains to find Pastor Ronald so that they would have a place to live. Her brother's name is Fresnel. He was sick when we were there, so they didn't get to know him, but a strong kid. His little sister is Gina. Gina came up and sat beside me, and all of a sudden she started singing to me in English, "Grabs Your Heart." And I said, "Gina, I know that song." So we spent an hour, me singing in English and her singing in English, if she knew it much better than I can in Creole. We spent an hour singing with each other. Then another girl, who's the oldest girl, her name is Chrismet. Chrismet came and sat with us, and we sang. And then we wrote down the songs, and when they had devotions the next night, all of us, the whole team, sang with them in Creole and us in English. Wonderful. Then we had a difficult day when we went to Monoville. Crowd control in a building with no walls is very difficult. And you have to know, this village had never had a team. They'd never had a medical team, so they didn't know what to expect, and we were giving things away free. Even here in the United States, it would be wild. Derek put it so well, but without walls, and crowd control is so difficult because we stick out. Some of us didn't, but most of us stick out. They know there's somebody new in town. So it was a very difficult day. We've learned some things we would handle a little differently. But at the end, we're tired. We've given away everything. We have empty bags. And the man whose mother had given the land to Pastor Ronald to build this school came to me, got Gavinsky, our interpreter, and said, because they call me Mother Duck, "Mother Duck, thank you for coming. Thank you for providing this medical clinic in this school, because we brought building supplies. Thank you for giving this to my village. We thank you so much. You make me think of my mother who just recently had died." Oh, that's wonderful. That's why we go. We are serving God's people, showing God's love to his people. Come with us. October 20 through 27.